What is up, and welcome back to the show. You're tuned into Anipod, the show where me, myself, and I talk about basically anything that's related to anime, manga, or just the otaku culture in general. I'm your host, Michan, that's MII-CHAN, and today's topic is going to be Fruits Basket Season 2, Episode 2, Eat Somen with Your Friends. So before we start the discussion, I do want to lay this out there that I have already watched up to episode 10 of Fruits Basket up to this point. I just did not want to leave out the rest of the episodes and then just jump into a discussion about episode 10. So we're going to have a short little recap about episode 2, Eat Somen with Your Friends. What are the things I liked about this episode? What are the things that I did not like about this episode? And some of just the most relatable scenes that I can recall from that anime. So I have my handy dandy notes here, hoping they won't let me down and that I will not forget anything about this discussion. So let's start our episode. So the episode basically starts with the teacher talking about career plans, how there's going to be a parent-teacher conference after summer break. That is basically going to be the topic of the whole episode. Like, it's all about plans and careers and what they want their future to be. What is the future of the Soma family and of Toru? So that's basically going to be the topic of the entire episode. So as soon as the teacher walks out, it's lunchtime, and I laugh because this scene is low-key hilarious. So Uotani is hangry, which, if you did not know the word hangry, hello, have you been living under a rock? I'm just kidding. So hangry is basically the combination of the word hungry and angry, meaning to say she's angry when she's hungry. Hangry. There you go. So this, I feel like in this episode, especially in that little scene, yes, it was hilarious, but I also did really see a lot of contrast, and I noticed how there's a very big difference that they are showing between how Uotani and Kyo fight and how Yuki and Kyo fight. So for instance, Uotani and Kyo fight in a very friendly way. So, you know, they're kind of like siblings teasing each other. That's how I see it. However, or while on the other hand, when I see Kyo and Yuki fight, it's like you can really feel the hatred. You can feel all of the anger boiling up inside, and that one of them wants to kill the other eventually. So I just love how there's a very big contrast to that. So everyone's eating lunch together, which kind of reminded me of how long I have not seen these characters bundled up like this in one episode, because most of the time it's like just, you know, a little Yuki episode, so it's centered on Yuki and characters that revolve around Yuki's life. It's about Kyo, it's about Kyo's life and the characters that center around Kyo's life. So I've never actually seen them interact like this before after the first season ends. So this is just a good little refreshing moment. They also did point that out in the episode. So they're all talking about future plans. This is a very important topic, I feel like, for teenage years. Your plans, your goals, what you want your future to be. And I was watching this and it just hit me. Like, these guys are going to be seniors soon. Imagine how fast the story is progressing from this point. Like, I remember watching the first season and being just like, oh, she just met the Somas. Oh, they're still first year, and, you know, they're going through their second year, and Haru and Momiji joined them, and now they're 30 years. Almost 30 years, rather. So, it's insane. So, time goes by so fast with this series. So, this is what I like about this episode, is how they bring such a realistic topic to the show. It makes the characters more realistic, more relatable, and it's not just, you feel like they are not just characters, like, they are actually regular, normal high school students who have real-world problems, and that the story doesn't just revolve around, oh, the Somas are cursed, how to break the curse, and stuff like that, and blah, blah, blah. They actually have real-world problems to go to, which is what I love about this episode, is how openly they progress, and they just lay out that topic for everyone to relate to. So they're all talking about plans. Toru talks about hers. Of course, we already know what her plans are. She wants to start working right away to support herself, like the strong, independent woman that she is. Go, girl. So The talk about marriage subtly pops up, which is apparently Toru's other option aside from working, according to Ohtani. So Ohtani also points that she could marry either Yuki or Kyo, which, guys, let's be real. Anime only or manga readers, we're all expecting that she's going to end up with at least one of the somas. It could be Yuki, it could be Kyo, hell, it maybe even Shigure. Who cares? Who knows? But one thing's for sure, guys, we're all expecting that she is going to end up with one of the many handsome males in the Soma family. So if she does not, I'm gonna be low-key so disappointed, but I feel like that is not gonna happen. So moving on to the next topic. So Toru is actually kind of awkward about the whole marriage thing. Her reaction to this is kind of a little bit puzzling to me. I don't know if she is just afraid of thinking too far ahead, or if she is just, you know, shy talking about a topic like this. Like, I mean, I remember being in high school, and topics like this would, you know, pop up in conversations every now and then, especially before we graduated and went to college. And that was always kind of awkward to me. It's kind of like a very difficult thing to talk about. So maybe that's her reaction. I don't know if she's just afraid of thinking too far ahead, looking too distant into the future, or she's just generally awkward about this whole topic and, you know, the talk about getting married and stuff. So before the opening rolls for this episode, we get a little bit of Kyo and Yuki's internal monologues, and highlight of this freaking scene, the way Kyo looked at Toru when he said, "My future." It was like saying as if Toru is his future. I'm like, dang! The Kyoto shippers must have went nuts, because I know I did. That was like, I don't know if a lot of people caught that part, but dang, that was, I have no words. That's just it. So after the opening, before I dive into the next scene, if you guys want to hear a little bit of my observations and theories and stuff about the opening, you should go check out episode 1 of this podcast, where I also talked about episode 1 of Fruits Basket. I included my whole observation and theories talk about the whole introduction and stuff. So let's move on. So Kyo and Toru are going to Kazuma, Shisho, Master, whatever the heck you call him. They're going to Kazuma's house. And the first thing that I noticed when they show Kazuma, hair freaking cut. He cut his hair and dang, it looks so good. He is looking like fire. I love that. But I used to love him, like, with the long hair and stuff. I thought that was so cool. But when he got a haircut, damn, that was, it's so good. Anyway, so I want to jump ahead to the reason why he cut his hair before we continue, since we are already in the topic about haircut and stuff like that. The reason why he cut his hair, and he did also mention this himself towards, like, the end of the episode, it's because someone is not going to get upset anymore, and that someone being Kyo. So Kyo is not a kid anymore. Of course he won't get upset about, you know, Kazuma getting his haircut, but he also says that it was a superstitious habit anyway. Now, as someone who grew up with a bunch of male family members with long hair, I had so many thoughts in my head about this whole superstitious belief about having long hair. Because growing up, I know a lot of my uncles and, well, my dad didn't really have long hair, but I know a lot of my uncles who do this, who grow their hair and don't cut it for religious beliefs. Like, they believe that it's going to give them bad luck, or they're going to get sick or whatever if they cut their hair. So that's, I think, what, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but that's what I'm thinking when he said superstitious belief. Yeah, so I don't know, maybe it's just me. The second thing that I thought about when he got his haircut is him cutting off that much hair would probably a lot for Kyo to intake at the time when he wasn't as free and accepted as he is now. Like, I mean, technically he's not really that free because he's still cursed, but he has, he's grown a lot, and he's able to accept changes that happen around him and that happen in his world very easily now. So I feel like if Kazuma did get a haircut when Kyo was younger, Kyo would probably get upset, and I don't know, maybe it's just me, but that's what I'm thinking. The third thing that I did think about here is, I don't know, but this is very common in movies. Haircuts are basically a symbol of change, right? So it's like in some romance films. Let me set out a few examples. In some romance films, when a girl and a guy break up, a girl ends up cutting her hair as a symbol of, you know, like moving on. Like in Your Name or Kimi no Na wa, Mitsuha cuts her hair when Taki went on that date. I don't know, maybe because she was maybe heartbroken about it. Just that. And if you guys know the anime Snow White with the Red Hair or Akagami no Shirayuki Hime, Shirayuki basically left her hometown, cut off her bright red hair, and left a piece of it there so that she won't become the prince's concubine. So throughout these examples, I feel like, you know, a haircut is basically just a symbol of change for characters like this. And since Kyo fully accepted Kazuma actually as his father, I feel like it's his way of, you know, just being a more fatherly figure to him, to Kyo. So yeah, those are just my thoughts about the haircut scene. Anyway, going back. So Kyo and Toru are in Kazuma's house that low-key smells like smoke because Kazuma burnt the food, enjoying Shigure's new book. So he was reading while cooking and he burnt the food. And then Kyo goes, "That's what you should have burned." That was just hilarious. Anyway, nothing much to say about that. Just wanted to add that a little bit because it was funny. So we're also getting young Kyo flashbacks here, like when he was peeking out that tree to Kazuma and he's being like, "Let's play, let's play, let's play, let's play." And the stain on the wood that looks like scary eyes. This for me, I feel like was a very slice of lifey moment in the episode. I feel like we're just getting bits and pieces of Kyo's past and his childhood, especially when Kunimitsu was like retelling what Kyo was like when he was a kid. It's like when you invite someone over to your house for the first time and your parents start telling them stories about you as a kid and they start taking out the baby photos. So that was basically, I love that scene so much. It's very, you know, I think we get pieces of his childhood and his past in a more lighthearted way and not just showing us all of the bad shit that he's been through. So that was a very good scene. So this is also the episode where we get a first look at Kyo's dad, or as the internet likes to call him, Kyo's sperm donor. Fans won't even call him his dad, and I respect that. Respect. From this point, I feel like he cannot even be called Kyo's dad. He's an asshole. That's all I have to say. The aesthetic of the scene where Kazuma and Kyo's dad were actually talking and confronting each other, I don't know, there was just something about the lighting, the music, just the atmosphere in general that made it so chaotic. It was silent, they were talking in very hushed voices, yet it felt so freaking loud. The atmosphere was depressing, the aesthetic was very dark, the record playing in the background. It's just insane how much good animation and good music can add so much into a scene. And you would really feel, I actually feel like I was watching, I was like in that scene and watching them as they talk like that. It low-key made me so depressed. So then we also hear talk about Kyo being locked up after graduation, which made me so freaking angry because Kyo does not deserve that. He is an angel. He deserves to be protected. He does not deserve to be locked up. He needs to be free. But that is not the one thing that made me angry. There is another thing that made me so much angrier than I already was with Kyo's dad. Calling his own son it. It's basically like saying he's a creature. Dude, if you don't want to call him my son, at least say his name. It's literally three freaking letters. Kyo. K-Y-O. Four for some of you who spell it as K-Y-O-U, but who cares? It's a very short name. Just call him Kyo. You're probably the one who gave that name in the first place, and pronouns exist, man. Use pronouns. If you don't want to call him my son, you don't want to call him Kyo, call it, you know, him. Pronouns exist for a reason, but no, he just had to keep calling Kyo it. That pissed me off so much, and Kyo does not deserve that kind of treatment, so I respect people who call him Kyo's sperm donor or Kyo's asshole of a dad, because he definitely is. Now, after all of that confrontation, Kazuma, Kyo's non-bio but real and super hot dad, goes and says, "You're no parent of his, so you will never understand. He's my son." I was like, yes, yes, tell him. tell him. He does not deserve Kyo. Kyo does not deserve to be talked about like that. He is an angel. We need to protect him. He is just so precious. Anyway, if you guys can hear any raining noises, it's because it is raining outside. Weather has been crazy the past few days. There's a freaking storm outside, so let's continue. I hope you guys really can't hear that, because I've tried my best to record this in the most quiet place in this house possible, aka my room. So let's continue. So before that, he also says something like, Kyo was like you too, but he changed, or something along those lines. And Kyo's dad just practically lost it. Like, I mean, I get how it feels being compared to the son that he despises the most. That probably hurts for him, or he probably hates him for that. So I just like how he's been told off at the very end. And yes, it's confirmed, I hate Kyo's father. Let's move on. So, thoughts on Kyo's mom. I really want to know what happened to her. Like, did Kyo really kill her? How did she die and when? But I 100% think Kyo did not kill her, though he, you know, kind of despised her for being afraid of him and not admitting that she was, but constantly just checking on his beads like it was, you know, she was just pretending, she was being plastic towards her own son. I feel like even though Kyo has a little bit of hatred for her, there's no way that he would kill his own mother, right? That's definitely not true. If anything, this is just a thought, it could be Akito. If she was killed by someone, it could be Akito or maybe his own, or maybe Kyo's dad, like his real dad, his biological father, you know, the asshole. So those are just theories. I don't know. I still haven't seen much of Kyo's flashback to know about what happened to his mom. So back to the house, we get this cute little moment with Kyo and Toru talking about summer, swimming, building sandcastles, all the fun stuff. So I love in the dub version when Toru answers Kyo, and Kyo is like asking, can you even swim, and how can you swim if you don't come up for air? And then she goes, one deep breath and then paddle like crazy. That was just so cute, and I really love the dub version of this. It was a really nice moment. So after all of that is over, Kazuma comes back home. They eat and talk about who knows what for who knows how long. We move on to the next scene in the episode. We're basically, I think at this point, we're basically in the middle part of the episode. So Toto is walking out of work with Momiji, and, you know, they're still talking about plans and goals and future, which is kind of like the running theme for the episode, like what I said. And Momiji says something like, I already know what I want to do, I just might not be able to do it. So I'm just kind of wondering, what is Momiji's ambition, and why is he not able to do it? I can think of two reasons. So, one, it could be the whole curse thing. It may be because, you know, they're Somas, they're cursed, they're not as free, and they're not able to be as free and independent as they are, because as long as they are cursed, they are basically tied to Akito in this curse. So they don't have the kind of freedom that other Somas have who are not within the curse. It's either that or it's just impossible to achieve, like, I don't know, being the Prime Minister of Japan or something? I'm not sure, but I'm thinking of either one of those two ways. So then Yuki shows up, comes to pick up Toru. This is just so funny. I don't know for others, but this for me was kind of funny when they're talking about, you know, the little conversation between Momiji and Toru that they had, and Yuki is like, did Momiji tell you about his goals? And Toru's like, yeah. Then Yuki goes, did he tell you he might not be able to do it? For some reason, that was just funny. I don't know, that was just funny for me. Just wanted to throw that out there really quickly. So Toru's back home, and she finds Kyo in the kitchen making somen, and this is where the tears start to freaking fall. Like a river of snow melted by the first breath of spring. Did you guys get that reference? First season, people. First season. Love that quote. So anyways, while they were, you know, sitting, having somen together, hence the title of the episode, I feel like they were talking about a very, very sensitive topic, not only for the anime, but for basically the real world in general. Because thinking about your future, the path forward, your goals, everything, all those sorts of things, I feel like it's something that a lot of teenagers in high school and people in their early and mid-20s struggle through a lot. Especially for me. Like, this is why I love this episode. So they're basically talking about how the Curse-Somas might not actually have a future, or they might, but they don't have a hold on what their future actually is, because, like what I said, as long as they are bind to that curse, they're basically tied to Akito, too. So, whatever Akito says goes. Like, if Akito doesn't want you to do this, you can't do it. So, I feel like this part is just really heartbreaking for me, knowing that if this curse never breaks, they're not going to have the future that they deserve, or they're not going to have the future that they want, which is something that I feel like a lot of aspiring and ambitious teenagers would be very, very heartbroken about. So there's also this scene where Kyo and Toru are talking about Toru's like main goal, her future and stuff like that, and Kyo says, like, those plans you made were for your mom's sake, stuff you decided when she was around. So while I was listening to that, I kind of wrapped my head around it a little bit, and it was almost like Kyo was saying, you should start making new plans, you know, plans for yourself, because, you know, your mom is not around anymore. You have to be, you have to plan for things that you want and for things that you can actually achieve on your own. So, I don't know, this is just such a highlight. This is the highlight of the episode for me. So, Toru responds to that saying that, please stop making me look closer. I have to keep acting like everything is okay. And I just can't. That, looking back at it now, I remember how much that broke me. And I feel like, I don't know, maybe a tear or two, or maybe even more, just went running down my eyes. That was freaking heartbreaking. It was so sad how, knowing that despite all of her clumsiness, despite all of her bubbly, happy, merry Sue characteristics, deep inside she's just this broken piece of glass that's forcefully trying to stick herself together, make herself whole again. And right now in this episode, we got to see a little bit of those tiny little cracks that Toru has in her personality. This is very sad, it's very heartbreaking for me, but I also loved it because we finally get to see a more realistic side, a more relatable side to Toru. Like what I said, she's not always bubbly and happy and Mary Sue and not this character that fix other characters' problems all the time. Like, yes, she's kind and caring and cheerful. We see that a lot, of course. So it's nice to see her more humanized and relatable. Like, she is not perfect. She is not an angel. She is not all easy, happy-go-lucky. She hasn't completely moved on from everything that's happened in her life, and I feel like they were showing that a lot more in this episode. So I don't know, I just love that scene. Another favorite scene from this episode was when Kyo's reaction when Toru touched his beads and then she started shaking them like crazy and Kyo goes like, hey, you'll break it. I feel like Kyo, the look on his face, it was really shocked, because I feel like this was the first time somebody actually touched his beads without being afraid of him, or without, you know, just checking if they're still there so that he doesn't transform into that Charizard looking monster. And this was just a very nice, wholesome moment. I feel that that is also Toru's way of, you know, comforting him, since, you know, she can't really go in for a hug if she wants to, right? So after that, they're having a moment, you know, like every other day they do. They're having a little moment, and then Shigure shows up from the room behind him, and Kyo went flying to the other side of the room. That was just hilarious. While I was watching that, I was actually imagining that was very, very cat-like. Like, the way I would walk out of this door when my cat is waiting for me outside, and he would just get surprised. He would, like, frantically fly off the other side of the room. I don't know why I'm making all of these actions when you guys can't see me. That was so weird, but yeah, that was a little hilarious transition. But after he shows up comes another best thing about this episode, the pile of laundry metaphor. I feel like a lot of people need to hear that, not just, you know, teens who are going through pre-adolescent years or early and mid-20s people. Everyone, I feel like, needs to hear this. I related to that so much. And he says, like, start by washing the laundry that's at your feet. It's important to think about what's ahead, but if you focus on that too much, you'll trip over what's right in front of you. And I am living for that. Preach, Shigure. reach. This is something that a lot of people need to hear. This is a piece of advice that I would definitely give my younger self. If I could like travel back in time after I watched this episode, I'd go back to when I was still a kid and tell my younger self this quote. So that was just insane. Because I feel like as human beings, we all have a tendency to plan things ahead, which is not a bad thing. It's a good thing to plan about, you know, things ahead in your future and whatnot and blah, blah, blah. But I also feel like it's very difficult when you have so many plans ahead of you and you're just looking way too far ahead that the small, tiny, obvious things that are right in front of you are what you're missing. And that was Shigure's point. It gives you so much anxiety to think about the future and what it holds for you, what your life is going to be like 10 to 15 years from now, 20 to 30 years from now, what your life is going to be like when you grow older, when you're a senior citizen, what kind of house, what kind of life, what kind of family are you going to have? And I feel like the more you look into them, the more you pile up your plans, the more you look higher and farther, and you just start tripping at what's right in front of you. I don't know if any of that makes sense, but I'm gonna stop now before I start preaching. I just really related to that so much, and after that I came to this realization, like, oh, Shigure is right. We all need to somehow take it slow. It's okay to plan things here and again. It's okay to lay out your goals, what your plans for the future is going to be like, but like go through them slowly and not at one time, or not like all of the time at one time altogether. I don't know if that makes sense, but go through them slowly and eventually you'll get there. That's what he was trying to say. I love that. I love Shigure. Okay, so anyways, after that little moment, Todu goes up to Yuki's room to like go get him so they could have, you know, somen together and they could talk, you know, they could have a little family-ish bonding, a little bit of talk. And I just want to point out how Yuki's room is low-key my room, just animated. Clothes everywhere, everything is messy, it's insane. I love it so much. So that's the end of the episode. They all eat somen together. Hence the title of the episode, Eat Somen with Your Friends. So this was a very, how should I say it? So I think it's very obvious. This episode was more centered on Kyo and Toru overall in general. The first episode was more centered on Yuki and Minagawa. Well, mostly Yuki, but yeah. It was a very Yuki-centered episode. And I just love how this episode transitioned from that to a very Kyo and Toru episode, which is mostly centered on Kyo, his past, and his family life. So that's a very good way to start off the season. I feel like it's, you know, just a good reminder that these two are still the main characters of the series. So that's gonna be it for today's episode. Thank you very much. I'm gonna stop talking now. Thank you very much for tuning in again today. If you made it this far, if you made it till the end, I love you so much. You are amazing. I'd like to know your thoughts down below about this episode. I just feel like, I think for me, this is hands down my favorite Fruits Basket episode, mostly because this was very, very relatable. It's a very realistic topic, and it's not just about the curse, the somas, breaking it, Toru being all bubbly and happy. It's not that cliche shoujo manga type of moment. It's a real, actual situation, and that is why I love this episode. So leave your thoughts below in the comment section. If you guys are listening to this on YouTube, and while you're at it, consider subscribing if you want to see more anime-related content. And like this episode if you enjoyed it, obviously. And yeah, but no, really, that would seriously mean a lot to me. Like, comment, subscribe. If you're on Spotify, consider following so you don't miss out on any episodes. Feel free to give us a rating too, because that would really help the show. And if you guys want to follow me on social media, you can look for me on both Twitter and Instagram. That's minami_anipod. That's MINAMI_ANIPOD. minami_anipod. Again, that's on both Twitter and Instagram. Thank you very much, you guys, for listening. I have had this script written for a good few weeks now, and it's just so glad to have this fully recorded. And I know, it's just nice to be keeping up with the whole episode. If you guys want to go check out the full playlist, you guys can look for me on YouTube. You can just look for my channel. That's Mi-chan, MII-CHAN. You can see a full link to all of my podcast episodes, as well as reaction videos to all of my other shows that I'm watching. So that's gonna be all for today. I hope you guys enjoyed this little episode. I'll see you guys in the next one. Bye bye. That is so weird. I'll see you in the next one, people. Goodbye.